we are looking at spiritual warfare as intimated in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. We have been identifying the pieces of armor necessary for our success in spiritual warfare and in this spiritual battle. You must ensure, according to Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, you must ensure that you first put on the girdle of truth, then the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure that you wear the sandals of the gospel of peace. Wherever your feet go, you are bringing peace. You're speaking peace. You're preaching peace. Then make sure to carry your shield of faith so that you may quench all the fiery darts that the wicked are throwing and hurling against you. Then wear the helmet of salvation. We saw that each of these pieces has a specific quality of work to perform. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation. They, each of them, serve their own purpose and convey their own lesson, their own message. One cannot take the place of the other. They must work together. That is the reason why the command is for you and me to put on the whole armor of God. We cannot put on one and not the others. We cannot put on the others and omit a particular one. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation. Try fighting in the conflict with one of these missing. Truth sets you free. Remember what Jesus said? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then righteousness set you in a right standing with God. Peace calms your spirit. You can please God, and then faith. You cannot please God without that. Salvation ensures that you're a part of the family of God. You belong to God. So all of these pieces of weaponry will help you to secure yourself against the constant attacks of the enemy in this wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but this wrestle against principalities and powers. Today, we will continue to examine another piece of the believer's armor. The passage is in verse number 17 here of Ephesians 6. It reads, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 17 of Ephesians 6. The sword of the Spirit is literally the sword which the Spirit uses. And that sword is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 teaches us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amplified, this verse reads as follows: the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, which is of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting, analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. This verse exposes the vast reaches of the depth, the height, and the breadth of the living Word of God. There is nothing like it in power, in scope, in its effectiveness, in its ability to achieve success. Nothing equals the Word. Nothing surpasses the Word. It is a most effective tool against all the strategies of Satan. Speak the Word. Declare the Word. Stand by the Word. Everything you need is in the Word. No wonder the centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 8 confidently affirmed before the face of Jesus, "Speak the Word only, and my servant shall be healed." In verse number 16, Jesus cast out the devils, how? With his word, Matthew 8:16. He cast out the devils with his word. And just one more before we go back to Ephesians. Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11. It says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall not return to me achieving nothing. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It shall not fail in its intended purpose." So if you are a preacher, go on preaching. If you're a Sunday school teacher, keep on teaching. If you are in a position of leadership, go on leading and sowing the precious seed as God allows you the opportunity. If you're doing nothing, arise and go into the ripened harvest field, sowing the precious seed. Reaping time is coming by and by. The seed of the word that you sow, yes, the living word, will not accomplish nothing. It will not accomplish nothing. It will always bear fruit. It will always be effective. It can do nothing else but to accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Keep on serving Christ and sowing the precious seed. Keep on spreading the word of God. The record says back in Ephesians 6 and 17, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The traditional sword of the soldier in Paul's day was not the long, slender, shiny sword we know, and which we see in a sword fencing match. This sword of this Roman soldier was like an oversized dagger, fashioned from a flattened piece of metal, shaped like a dagger, of course, sharp and pointed at one end, and with a handle at the other. The metal instrument is sharpened so that it is capable of being used to cut down trees, to rip open doors, to break down walls, and to prise open any sealed object or obstacle. It is sharpened on both cutting edges and was, as I said before, 16 to 18 inches long, thick and strong enough to cut through and cut down vegetations whenever they had to clear a part of a forest or a wood for making roads or tracks for the troops to pass over. It was a versatile piece of weapon used in self-defense and used for cutting through obstacles. What the fighter couldn't accomplish by utilizing his bare hands, the two-edged sword would do that job. What is this two-edged sword we need in this conflict? The two-edged sword is the word of the living God, the written word, the spoken word, the proceeding word, the word that the Spirit brings to us for that moment, for that season, for that encounter, the word that comes to us from God, the word that the Spirit brings to our remembrance for the particular hour. Remember, this is a battle God is helping us to fight and to win. And God keeps supplying us with the ammunition necessary. The word is that timely weaponry that brings us into victory. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes, in simple language, the word mentioned here is forceful and powerful. It is alive. It stabs, it cuts, and cuts both sides. It reaches deep beyond the surface, inflicting deep wounds into the enemy's person, separating, severing what may be attached, and forming a defense, regardless of how closely knit it may be. Anything that is opposing the word of God is able to penetrate and separate and remove so that the way is made open. As long as something stands in our way, the word of God loosens it, dissolves its foundation, and makes it remove out of the way so that we could advance and have access to our purpose. Yes, anything that stands in the way of the enemy's defeat, the word of God will cause that thing to tumble, to crumble, and to fall, and to be defeated. Whether it is soul or spirit, joint or marrow, whatever, visible or invisible, the power of God's word is able to work against the enemy's obstructions and barriers. Everywhere, the living word is able to enter, to invade, and to penetrate. Sure, such is the force we have working for us in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, though serious in its conflict, is not dangerous to the child of God. because we are not fighting alone. The Lord is with us, and he will fight our battle. The word, the living word, the written word, the spoken word, the word decreed shall prevail. What is written holds good for all times. How did Jesus answer in the time of his temptations? Three times he told that devil, he said, "It is written." And when Jesus was done with the enemy, the tempter departed. The word is too, or rather at that time and today, the word was too powerful for the enemy to withstand. The heat was too much in the kitchen, and he had to leave. Victory is sure when we use the word in response to the attacks of the enemy. When we use the word in this conflict, the very word we use fortifies us with faith. Yes, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing yourself saying what God says. When you speak the word against the wicked one, that word is also spoken to your heart and your spirit and gives you faith and courage and power. We hear ourselves saying what God says. The weapons we need are all here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14 and onward. That these are provisions God made for our total victory. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, being one such weapon, one of at least the six weapons. The believers are armed sufficiently to overcome the evil one. And consider, we are not fighting alone. The Lord is with each of us, each step of the way. Our victory is assured. Remember, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pick up that sword. Hold it tightly. Don't let go. You need not lose in this conflict, because the Lord is with you, and he is fighting your battle. And he also gives you protection that you may need in case that conniving devil takes a swipe at you. God is able. God is strong. God is powerful. Jesus is your victor. In all these things, the record says, we are more than conquerors. And some of you may say, well, Pastor Bola, why do we have to fight these battles? Why doesn't God just give us a clear path with no battles, no struggles, no temptations, no fights, no clear up? But this makes life interesting. And this causes us to see that God is able to still storms and to bring peace in the midst of conflict. If we do not know what a storm is, we may never understand what peace is all about. And you may be going through a storm in this hour. You may be going through difficulties at this moment. You have your struggles. And I hope you're not asking, no, where is God? He is there with you. You need to recognize him, and you need to pick up the weapon that he has provided and launch out into the fray. And you will come in with flying colors because you're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, you are a declared winner. Victory is yours. In all these things, you, as a child of God, a son of God, you are more than conquerors. You're not a loser, but you are a winner. Take up the mighty shield of faith. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take it up and come out with flying colors. God is for you. And if God be for you, who then can be against you? You are a winner. Look at yourself in the looking glass and point to your chest and say, in Jesus, I am a winner. A winner for all times in Jesus and with Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you because you have given us a weapon convenient for us to fight and to withstand the evil one in this battle. We thank you that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask you to strengthen each one of these your children. Deliver them from all fear. Deliver them from any thought they may have of losing in the conflict. Let them know that they are winners because you are fighting the battle for them. We bless them all with your strength and your power, your courage, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen.